You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Cannon Podcast. We're a bunch of good time pals. Yuck it up, bust some chops, and make actual play podcasts of your favorite role-playing games. Today is episode 8 of our Shadow Dark campaign. It's getting dark in here. Listen, here's what I want you to do, and you've probably already done it, but I want you to do it anyways. I want you to go to jointhenaish.com and join our subscription service, the best money you'll ever spend ever of your whole life. I want you to download and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It sounds stupid, but it makes a huge difference. Thank you to everybody who's helping us out with that. Follow us on Instagram at The Glass Cannon. And the fourth one is the one I always forget.
Subscribe to YouTube.
That's what you're watching. YouTube.com.
Why do you always have trouble with the YouTube? You love YouTube.
I love it. I don't really like it that much.
You were a huge proponent of making our game video.
Oh,
it didn't used to be video.
I like that. I don't consume content on YouTube.
Oh.
I just like that we put stuff there.
You don't consume any content on YouTube.
All right.
You watch.
I didn't say ever.
So much shit
I didn't
on
say
YouTube.
Ever. I don't watch a lot of YouTube.
You watch YouTube constantly.
YouTube?
Yes.
Do I watch YouTube?
You watch breaks. You watch.
Breaks?
Yeah.
Are those breaks. On YouTube? But those are live. I watch those on other.
Yeah, you're right. Things. YouTube doesn't have any live functionality.
I watch breaks on Whatnot and other programs such as that. Hey, by the way, Happy New Year, everybody. Hey, listen.
Against all odds, here we are.
As always,
this is a very interesting situation.
We talk about resolutions here at the Glass Cannon Podcast.
No.
What are your gaming resolutions?
Oh.
We usually do broad resolutions, and then sometimes we do gaming resolutions. Let's just talk gaming resolutions for 2026. Can you imagine that 2026 is coming? Mm-hmm. We're already there. If you're watching this now, it's New Year's Day.
Happy New Year.
Anybody have any gaming resolution? What do you want to do better, maybe? Or maybe just try out for the first time. Maybe some butt stuff. The gaming equivalent of butt stuff. Yeah. What would be the gaming equivalent of butt stuff?
I would like to play Time Watch.
Time Watch?
Yes. I've never played Time Watch.
Really?
So much fun.
We got to play it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it looks really, really fun. Yeah.
Okay. We can make that happen. Yeah. We're like genies. Boop. Okay, that's been an easy resolution.
Okay,
that's doable.
I would also like hard copies of all the rule books and scenarios
from Time Watch.
From all games.
Yep,
all games.
Well, games. For Time Watch and any other publishers.
Who are you talking to?
I don't know.
Any other publisher?
I'm just talking out loud.
To.
Right, that's smart.
But I would like hard copies of every publishable game system out there.
What is it about Time Watch that really scratches your itch?
I really love history.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I was just rewatching 11/22/63 on Hulu. God, it's a really good show. I want to read the book too. The book is pretty long, but I want to read the book. And I just love that thought of those, like, going back and changing things in the past. I love time travel stories like that, mm-hmm. but I also love, like, kind of digging through historical trivia to kind of figure out, like, mysteries and everything.
Yes!
That's fun. Yeah,
game's great.
Yeah. What about you, Sydney? Any gaming resolutions for 2026?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. It seems like she prepped for this.
I don't like it. I almost want to skip her and go straight to Matthew.
Does it? Oh, that's so interesting.
Oh, now I like it even less.
Does it seem like I prepped? Because one of my main resolutions is I want a GM.
Mm.
Oh.
Oh.
What do you want a GM?
I was thinking about this, and a lot of people have asked me. I'm open to anything because I like many different game systems, but I really want to do Brindlewood Bay.
Oh. Brindlewood Bay. All right.
Because
I have that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
And I'd like all the hard copies. And
yes, a fan, a friend of the show mentioned it to me. And when I went and bought it, I brought it to a hang. And you guys were like, how do I get that as soon as possible?
Yeah.
And then Eric Mona was like, hey, what's that game? And he went and got it too.
He did.
I went and got it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I talked about it, Mona, to Eric. And then I referred him to you. And
literally.
Then the next day, Eric came to the booth at Gen Con and was like, where'd you get that printable?
Yeah.
Everybody has a copy, except for me.
Yeah, shout out to my man Reed, who brought it to my attention. If you're not familiar with Brindlewood Bay, it's like Murder, She Wrote, but Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cozy Lovecraftian
mystery. Cozy Lovecraftian RPG.
Grandma Cthulhu, like, I just think it's hilarious. It seems like it could be so fun to run people through.
Okay. One shot, is it a campaign? I haven't read through it.
I think there's a few like scenarios.
You can keep it going, but I think...
There's like commercial breaks as part of
the mechanic. Yes.
Right.
I think the first campaign is called The Nephews Are in Trouble.
Oh.
Not The Nephews. No.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Just think it would be so much fun.
Good resolution. Okay. All right. Also, very, very doable.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. Matthew, what do you got?
I swear to God, mine was I want to run some Brindlewood Bay.
Oh, get out of here.
I'll go to my secondary one, which is I want to run more Traveler.
Yeah.
It's
been a minute since I've played.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's another one.
You want to run it or just run through character creation?
Both.
That's really
always character creation.
You always try to push that.
I want to play Traveler.
Oh.
I've only gotten to referee.
Okay.
I've made at least 6 Traveler characters and I've never played Traveler.
Man.
So yeah. Yeah, playing Traveler would be a good one.
I agree with that. I mean, Traveler's one of my OG games, so I'm always down to play Traveler.
Love Traveler.
I have an old, like an OG module. That I was thinking about running it at Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ran out of time to
prep
it.
Which one?
I forget the name, but you're on a cruise liner.
Oh.
Hold on, I'll tell you the exact name. I have it right here.
I feel like you mentioned this. I remember you talking about this.
I have adapted a mechanic of it into Voyages of the Jump.
But oh, okay.
I can tell you the actual name of it. One Crowded Hour.
Oh, I don't know that one at all.
One Crowded Hour.
I won't tell you anything else.
Though. Okay.
That one gets you going. Okay.
One Crowded Hour.
Okay. Joey Jojo Shabadoo Jr.
Do
you have any gaming resolutions?
You know what? I got two. I'm going to do two. One is a...
I never just do the assignment.
Well, because... okay, fine. Fuck you then. My New Year's resolution... I have really hesitate to say this. Hey, look,
boy.
I break resolutions every year.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be a problem. This year in gaming, I think I really do want to try to execute an actual
man.
Australian accent.
Really?
Wow. Okay. So.
You want to?
I've never even attempted it because it's so beyond me for some reason.
After hearing my perfect version of it in the second half
and
of
that's
season
the thing.
Three of
I didn't
Time
say,
for Chaos.
I didn't say good Australian accent. I just want to attempt something that isn't a total joke.
Wow.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm actually going to like consume educational content for actors trying to learn how to do an Australian
accent. Oh, wow. Okay. Crocodile Dundee 2.
I'll start there.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And all right, so maybe your backup character for Shadow Dark can be an Australian.
Could be. Okay. I just want that doorway open to
why?
Me. Why?
Yeah. It's not that it's a bad resolution. It's just, it's really out there.
It's really random.
Very specific and out there.
Clearly, you've been thinking about it.
I've been thinking about it for a long time.
Because it's like the one that you
There's
just
a few
don't...
different dialects that I've just never tried.
Yeah.
And that one is a great one. And Skid does a great Australian accent. And I've always had such a hard time mimicking it that I just always give up without putting any extra work in. So I was thinking about putting some work into that.
Sydney had a great one for 3 or 4 reps.
Favorite accent to do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had a good one.
Barnes had a generic oceanic accent.
Yeah, that's
yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you kind of did. It wasn't quite like British.
That what that was?
Yeah.
Yeah, oceanic.
That's my first thought was oceanic.
I call it Smoky Matthew.
Smoky Matthew.
Smoky Matthew.
Smoky Matthew.
It's giving Smoky Matthew.
All right, you can tell me your second resolution.
I just want to play more Twilight 2000.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, you really
I
love that.
I want to play that.
Yeah. And no,
I remember the Natural Retreat.
Like,
I just looked over and you were just running an impromptu game of Twilight 2000.
At like 12 in the morning.
Yeah. It was
like 12 players.
I know. So Sydney and Kate were sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I do want to do more of that. In the gaming world, that's what I would love to play more of, you know, if I had to play one tomorrow.
I might break out at some point because I still have my original box set. I might break that out at some point, try to run that. Even though the rule set is a lot more complicated than the new one, I might give it a shot.
Because
I've always loved Twilight 2000 as well.
Well, and the reason this is becoming more and more like just something that keeps, I'm trying to figure what I'm trying to say here. The reason it just keeps coming up in my mind is because it's so much like this, like what we're having so much fun with in this exact Shadow Dark campaign. It is exploration where you can't trust anybody. There's no sides anymore.
Post-war.
The war is over. It has all those themes and elements, except with a modern day flavor, a lot of current modern sort of politic vibes in it. And it's the 90s sort of like, you know, military technology and pop culture, which is like what I grew up with. So it's a perfect setting for me for a game.
I love it. Well, stick around after the break and maybe I'll have a resolution.
Uh-huh.
We'll be right back.
Ooh. You get a whole break to think about it.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
We're back! And I don't have a resolution. No, that's not fair. My resolution is to try and find a way to bring back New Game Who Dis. Yeah, I think it's time. We'll see. I'll have to talk to some people.
After hearing all these games everybody wants to run.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Well,
seems like it would make, I can grant everyone's wish. Let me know how it goes. I want to thank our sponsors.
Sponsies.
For our Shadow Dark campaign, Foundry Virtual Tabletop, and of course, Norse Foundry for all your random number generating needs.
Norse Foundry, new year, new dice. Do you remember that? That's their
I just rolled
slogan.
Planet dies on 2d6s. Two sixes.
Nice. Oh, God.
Wow. Rocks. That would kill all of you.
I know. I'm so afraid. There's plenty of spells in here, tier one spells that are like 2d6 damage.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very afraid.
Easily.
I just rolled a 20. No big deal.
Wow.
It's kind of the highest number you can roll on that die. So
I have a whole bunch of dice in this box.
Oh, my God.
Hey, brag.
I haven't even opened this.
Humble
yet.
Brag.
Humble brag.
Humble brag. Let's take an eye out. Well, go buy all their stuff. Last week, who wants to be the raconteur of the recap?
Do I get an extra cap if I do it?
No, but you get a session cap.
Sesh cap.
Anybody at three? Probably not, right?
No, not anymore.
Time to restock those caps.
I use all of mine.
Cindy, I'll give you a bouncer there.
Yeah, give me that one.
Did it make it? Okay. And then skitters.
I used all of mine, I think, in one session.
Yeah, a lot of caps were used. Did you immediately regret making that rule the three cap max?
Yeah, like,
immediately. I did, because mine are all
done.
What have
I done? I was like, fuck, I just gave one away for no reason. I need them all now.
Yeah.
But we had more caps in stock than the lids at the South Street Seaport.
Wow. Oh
my God.
Wow.
Cindy, you feel recap ready?
Yeah. Okay.
It's fresh in your mind?
Fresh in my mind, and I took notes. I've been taking pretty solid notes.
Okay.
Last episode, the black plate mail knight was revealed.
Question mark.
He came up behind Warwick as Warwick had his watch, put a sword to his back, and was kind of talking about all these weird things. Like, he told us who he used to be, but it doesn't matter anymore. He said his name was...
Sorry, you were very rudely interrupted.
What was that?
By a dumb computer.
By a system sound. Never heard
professional organization.
Leave it in. Leave it in his face.
He's so mad.
10 years. 10 years we've been doing this.
Only happens to him ever.
10 years we've been hearing these system sounds.
Never heard that.
It just stayed. The system sounds stay on mute for an absolutely, completely indeterminate and random amount of time. And one day, with no warning,
they'll come back on.
They're just back on. And you never know it until you trigger a system sound. It's like, blooding in your face. Like, God damn it. Anyway, I apologize.
No, that's okay.
Continue.
It totally took me, I'm no longer immersed by your recap.
Well, can I say that when the sword poked Warwick in the back, that was the sound.
Boop, boop. What was that?
So he said that he was reborn in flames and that he used to be Hadrick Dorne, but that person's dead now. And he views all of us, meaning the group at the campsite, and I guess people in general, like, we've already died. We don't even matter to him. We're not even on his radar.
Killing you would be redundant.
Yeah, redundant. And then he said a voice from the flames calls to him and he must follow. And he kind of just walked away. He left us alone. He had a helm on that had these chipped bull horns, and Warwick could see in the moonlight his face was like scarred and burnt. Mm-hmm. So that was creepy. Mm-hmm. We all were very scared, but we thought it's not safe. He also said it wasn't safe that we were sleeping without fires, and that we should, that fire is good, and like we shouldn't fear fire. A lot of fire stuff. Mm-hmm. Then we discovered this ravine. We moved toward it. Night started approaching, and when we got there, we realized there was a horrible acrid smell. We saw these robed figures leading somebody to this pit, this ravine. And we started a combat, realizing that they were going to hurt this person. They seemed like cultists. We were right. Mm-hmm. And we defeated them after many ups and downs of combat. Many a sleep spell was cast over and over.
They woke up, they went back to sleep.
And they were these cultists who were, this one guy was like professing sacrifice to the Ember God. And it was this like
embered one.
So there was like this whole thing going on. They were going to sacrifice this person, who we found out after we rescued them was Nelvin Lansingshire, mm-hmm. brother of the two other Lansingshires who went with Regina. And he told us that Regina's alive. So are his brothers. And they're in a cage. They were being kept in a cage at this campsite, which we had seen in the distance. And he's all bruised and messed up. So we sent him back with Marin and Barnaby, who we left in a tree. They're safe. The kids are fine, I think. And we left Nelvin with them. And we decided to clones wore it. And we put on the robes and we marched into the camp where we are pretending to be cultists. And we're going to try to rescue them from the cage and hopefully not fight all of these cultists, because there's a lot of cultists in this camp.
A dozen.
At least a dozen.
Including their leader, who we found out was named Torek Bane, who is very scary and very magical, it seems.
Yes, one spell was cast on Warwick during that fight where your life was like, your life force was siphoned away, and this was just one of the acolytes that was leading this sacrifice. What could Torek Bane do?
I should say Warwick went down.
First almost death.
Mm-hmm.
of the camp.
We didn't really even get to the dying rules.
Yeah. So as part of that, it's interesting. I was just going to mention that. So the dying rules say that when you hit zero on your turn, which is the next time you would act, you roll a D4 and you are dying for that D4 plus your con modifier rounds. Each round, you get to roll a 20-sided die. On a natural 20, you wake up with one hit point. Other than that, your teammates have to get you up, or you just permanently die after that amount of time has expired. The interesting thing with Warwick is he's a pretty tough customer. So if he goes to zero, he has a minimum of 3 rounds.
Mm. Oh, because he's bonus?
Plus 2 con.
Oh.
So I was like, he's got a minimum of 3 rounds if he ever goes to zero to get back up again.
Actually incredible.
Yeah. So
but it's crazy.
It could be as many as 7.
Your one healer had to spend 2 caps to heal you.
Get that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if
he doesn't have those caps, loses the spell. If people run, that amount of time doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
But or it could be enough for your enemies.
My God, imagine me like, I just got to try to roll a natural 20. I've got 4 rounds. It's not going to happen. Like,
yeah.
Right.
It'll happen once. Probably once in this cafe.
In the single session game I ran in Nashville, it happened like 2 or 3
times. That's crazy.
I was like,
they were lying.
I was like, God.
They were lying.
They were fudging.
Is there a minimum of 1 round? Because I have a -1 to my con, so.
Yeah, I believe it's minimum. If not that, with a house rule, that you get your minimum of 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you roll a 1, you know, just, I'm sorry, you have 0 rounds, you're dead.
Yeah, now you're dead. Right.
If Skid doesn't have caps in that moment, he rolls, loses the spell.
It comes back around. I have to go give you,
because it's an intelligence check.
Yeah, I have to go give you first aid, but that only stabilizes you.
Yes.
So I can stabilize you, but that means you're still out of the fight.
Yes.
Yeah. But hey, that keeps him alive.
Yeah, but at that point, we've now devoted. One person's down, person's getting that person
up. Oh, it's
up
brutal, yeah.
Yeah.
And the only person who does the stabilizing, it's always an intelligence check, and you have to hit an 11 or higher. So like...
15.
Oh, it's 15.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Is it 15?
DC 15.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yeah.
So I would be horrible at that. Like, I don't even know if I would
do it. Better chance of getting that with caps than getting the natural 20 to revive with 1 hit point.
So it is minimum 1 round.
Okay.
That would always be after your turn. So during Troy's turn, enemies will go. Then it's your turn, you roll. So you have a minimum of everybody goes before you one time. And on each of their subsequent rounds, you roll a d20 to see if you stabilize.
Okay.
So you don't get a d20 roll with that first con roll either.
That's your free round.
Yeah.
All right. Very, very interesting. This is a very cool setup here.
It's so cool.
I mean, it's just.
I mean, when we realized we could wear those robes into this.
Yeah.
As soon as Skid said, Skid was like, "Are you thinking what I'm thinking?"
It never even dawned on me. I don't know why I didn't think that, because we do that all the time in like Call of Cthulhu, but that was usually your only option.
Like the fantasy role play. We don't usually do stuff like this, though.
Yeah,
but this is the perfect opportunity.
It's
perfect.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we do that?
You pushed yourself into the night. This is technically the third hex you've explored on this day. So you will be tired. This fatigue that's going to set in. You also left an injured Nelvin Lanchingshire with the 2 children who are hiding in a tree on the edge of where this gaping maw was. You didn't mention that also you pushed one of the cultists in and heard something possibly devour the cultists. You're like, let's not push any more bodies in there. Are we feeding a god? So now it's midnight or so. And
there's
you're sneaking
one thing
this
we
camp.
Forgot. Yes. We talked about it after we went
healing Jodeful.
Healing Jodeful.
Oh.
Sorry, you're in the camp. I got to pick up from there. Now, do you want to retcon some healing?
Yeah.
It's still a roll.
I can try again. So how many are you down?
I think I'm down 4.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah, 4 of 10, I'm down. So
okay.
I'm at 6 right now.
All right, this is kind of brutal if this doesn't hit.
So I'm like, I'm reaching down deep to find whatever this power was that has been awakened with me in the last few weeks. 11 on the die.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 3.
Great.
Okay.
Just down 1. I don't think it's worth risking another casting.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Save that quote.
pin that for later.
Does your sticker say hot girls eat pickles?
Yeah.
Is that new?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Given to me, I think in Nashville.
Oh.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
That's cool.
I love that. And it's and it's true.
Is it true? Hot girls eat pickles.
I'm proof. I'm living proof.
All right. So
did we have to make Okay, I'm reading the I love how we start. Of course, all of us are now in the rule book before we
get your heads out of the gutter.
PCs can travel for up to eight hours a day. They must pass increasing con checks to push farther. So do we have to succeed at a con check to even do this?
That's interesting.
I would say on the way back, we would.
Well, here's what this is. I didn't want to get in the weeds with this, but it's important to note that this is different. What you're doing here, you are pushing yourself to strike at an opportune time, but would fatigue set in and would that affect you? Let's all do a con roll and find out flavor wise how you might be doing. I'm not saying like, sorry, you couldn't make it to the camp. You're there.
Yeah.
But maybe some of you are
we're pushing it
a little off.
Damn it, Matthew.
Why would you?
I'm
just bring it up after.
I meant to look it up between sessions, but I'm trying to avoid that. But you brought it up, so we should address it. It's the elephant in the room.
Warwick is a beast.
Well, now I wish I hadn't brought it up.
Yeah, of course.
All right, did you were the only one that passed, or did
I? I got a natty.
We don't know what a force is.
Ten.
Ten. Okay.
Six.
Okay. So Saint and Ellison, you're feeling pretty beat. By the time you get there, does that make you a little off?
No.
Depends what you want.
Disadvantage on every round.
No.
You. Well, I mean, you don't have to sneak. You're trying to walk right in. Now, you have to wonder, there's a dozen or so people here. If you just walk in and be like, hi there, hi. Do you assume they're going to be like, wait a minute, when did these new guys come? Or what is your sort of assumption?
We assume they're going to think we are the people that just left. We're going to keep those hooded cowls, like, you know, pulled past our faces, keep our heads down.
I'm not talking to, not waving.
Avoid interacting with anyone.
Oh, yeah.
All I need is to get, all that robe needs to do is to get me and more, because you're with me, within near of those guys at the fire.
Okay.
And all my plan is to walk past the guy by the gate so I can turn around behind him and get him with a dagger as a sneaky thing.
Okay. Roll for initiative.
Okay.
See how this is going to resolve itself.
I mean, you can't intentionally fail initiative. It doesn't make any sense.
Don't worry. I got you.
You can delay.
No, you don't.
You can delay.
Did you roll a natural 20?
I did. I rolled a natural 20.
Okay.
Did you really?
20, 21.
You could.
22.
Okay. Could I spend my cap to give Joe a disadvantage on his roll?
Yeah, I just don't. But if I delay, then you get to go. But if they don't know anything's happened yet. I get
to go, but we don't know anything's going to happen. True. So
we'll go right to Skid.
Right to Skid, right to Pharaoh. And, you know, you can keep passing it
around.
I'm
going to delay as well.
Okay. So then it goes to Saint.
Saint is going to just move past.
I'm just kidding.
You guys want to see them? I actually had an artist draw a map of this.
Yeah.
I'm
good.
It's hard for me.
I'd love to see this.
It's hard for me to put it on Foundry VTT, but I'll just show you this. We hired this very expensive artist to draw a map of the scene. Those three X's in the middle are the guys around the campfire.
Wow. Where,
and that
where
one
we?
X near the square is the guy outside the prison.
Okay.
Where are we?
I have not drawn you yet.
For those listening, it
you
looks
said
like
I
it,
had not drawn. That...
All right, I'll admit, we paid me to draw.
We paid me. A very expensive artist.
I'm salaried.
All right,
so we go to Saint. Saint. Talk me through this.
To move away from Ellison because Ellison needs to cast sleep and I can't be in that area. So I'm going
to
move.
That'd be funny. You just go to step.
Sorry.
Well, it also is very important as to who's going. I think I set it up last time that Saint and Pharaoh are going towards the cage while the two of you are walking, the two of you being Ellison and Work are walking towards the middle.
Yeah.
Basically, I would like to get past the cage guy, not interact with him, move past him, and then kind of quietly wait near the cage to look for Ellison's casting. Because even if he does it and this guy goes, huh? I want to be right there to get him. So basically I want Ellison to act first and then I will do my attack.
Okay. All right, so you're just going to, the two of you are going to
walk
up. All right, so you begin walking and the guy is standing there by the cage. He's kind of nodding off. He says, oi. Where's the rest of you? Why are you coming around from the south? Did everything go all right?
It's not your turn.
It's not your turn. You can't talk to me. Saint looks at Pharaoh. And still, they have their like cowls up. Looks at Pharaoh and just says, "They headed into their tents."
Oh, you should check in with Turok. He's gonna want to know.
Yeah, in a minute. Gotta take a piss.
You all right?
Just tired. And he moves, tries to get a little further away from this guy.
She's kind of watching.
And you hear zip.
You has a zipper fly?
Okay. No, it's a zipper in the rope.
Oh, is it? Okay, this rope
is that is
customized.
That's really disturbing.
The cultist rope.
Sorry, 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 sorry. It's my first day being a boy. He lifts the entire rope. Lifts the rope.
That's how we do it.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Just pissing out my wiener. Just what I didn't say.
Pissing out my wiener. You know, the wiener that I use for peeing? That's what I'm...
I'm no handing it because I'm tired.
I want to look at your ass while you pee. Put that down.
Sorry, and then he takes the robe fully off. He doesn't know.
Oh, standing there like a 2-year-old. Yeah,
completely naked.
Takes all his clothes off.
So apparently there are zippers in this world.
Zippers. Yeah,
zippers in robes.
During that 6-mile walk.
Wow.
All right, so
I guess Dayton, Ohio is canon. Gloaming.
You go off to pee between some tents, and he's just kind of, you know, watching you, not super warily, but something seemed a little off. And then we go to Ellison Ricks.
I really pee to make it look.
You had to go.
Yeah.
Well, glad. Okay. You know,
just it's realistic.
Situation.
Yeah. This guy's got to look. He's not going to look at his fellow cultist brother in arms taking a piss. So I'm really peeing. So he's like,
"Are you looking at me?"
He's down there,
weirdo.
Like, he's like, "Wait a minute.
Hold on. That doesn't look."
Yep. That's a penis.
All right. All right. All right.
That penis isn't one of these cultist penises.
Wait a minute.
I've seen every single one.
I know John's penis.
You're not John. Pulls the cowl off.
I got to know it intimately during our initiation.
Ellison Ricks.
I'm going to walk in the direction of the fire.
And I'm going to stay back.
You're going to stay back.
Yeah, so I just walk. I walk up, you know, kind of cowl over my eyes, walk. And then I stop, raise my hands. And I will cast, or attempt to cast.
Attempt to cast.
Sleep.
The guy's like, who is he?
Is there any kind of mechanical disadvantage I should know about because of my...
No, you're okay. Everything seems to be just fine with you.
Oh, man, already.
How many got left?
Taps.
2.
Popping off.
Oh, no.
Okay, I get it.
All right, so...
Zoom.
Let me see here. All right, so they all three collapse. I rolled to see if one fell directly into the fire. They did not.
Probably
they all
best.
Just like collapse.
Good for him.
And the guy who's standing by the cage is like, "What's going on over there?" And he starts walking away from the cage in the direction of this work.
Didn't go exactly how I...
I'm gonna... Oh, man.
We pull out the shotgun that we had up
he's
the
gonna
sleeve
just,
of our robe.
Just drop the robe.
Two we open the robe. Oh, shit.
I'm a lead farmer.
What are you nervous about right now? Making noise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to slowly walk toward that guy. Mm-hmm. And can I intercept him? Is that like he's walking from the cage toward the guys at the
Absolutely.
Campfire. I stayed
you
back.
You said you were hanging back.
So I'm just going to walk, not run, just sort of like walk toward him as he's coming up that way. And I just basically want to step in front of him. And then I just want to grab him and close, like cover his mouth.
All right, so
it's like, let's like grab walking. Shut your fucking mouth. Or I'm like, gonna cut you open.
He's like, there's some, and he sees a half orc. And so give me a strength roll.
Come on.
Strength roll. Come on. Fuck this up, orc. 21.
Oh!
He's like, what the? And he just grabs him and he's like, keep your mouth shut
and you might live through this.
He's going to try to break out now on his turn. Natural 20. I actually was hoping I failed that.
Let me get a chance to give you disadvantage.
That's true.
You said it too fast. Would have given you.
That's true. I did just roll. So sorry. It happened to you. I did not want it to happen. It's like, it's my turn. I have to roll dice now. And I'm like, only in my brain, in this split second, I'm like, only a natural 20 would actually do anything to this strong guy. So here's what he does. Is he just like, he like elbows you in the stomach and kind of breaks free. He's like, what's going on here? And then it goes to you.
Okay. I am...
It's just a little messy now.
Yeah, this is very messy.
Messy.
Oh shit. I'm just gonna pull out my crossbow and load it.
Okay. Goes to Saint.
Saint, from beneath his robe, he was never really pissing.
What?
He's so good at.
What were you spraying onto the fence?
Well, water bottle. You just pickle juice.
Pickle juice.
No.
I got this from some hot girl.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard.
It's that briny smell.
Only hot girls would have something like this. No, from beneath the robe, he had had his bow with him, like on his person, not on his back. So he just whips out his bow and pulls an arrow from his quiver, which he had tied to his leg instead of his back, and just quickly wants to take a shot at the guy who just pulled away from Warwick, which is honestly a little bit better, because you holding him, it would have been a harder shot for him. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that I get my back stabbed because he doesn't think we're not attacking him.
He turned his back on us.
That's his back on us.
Backstab.
But I'm not going to let you roll with advantage. I'm going to give you...
Just unaware, yeah, so I get my double damage.
Yeah, if you hit, you'll get your bonus damage, but just one straight roll.
Cool. I hit. Natural 19.
Nice. Okay, give me the damage.
Okay, so that'll be... I get two of my damage dice. Seven.
Nice.
Almost max.
Ice is just like... like, this is all happening so quickly. Like, you grabbed him. He just elbows his way out. Pharaoh notches or loads his crossbow. You hit him with the arrow. Then it comes to you.
I would also like to move to the cage immediately.
Okay,
so
yes.
Shoot move and action. Run, and I run to the cage.
Okay, Saint runs to the cage. Ellison.
I see... He's still up, right?
Yep.
Now
you turn towards him, and Warwick is within the range of a sleep spell, just keeping...
Yeah, so instead I'm going to fire off a magic missile.
Okay.
I get advantage on this.
That's so great.
It's tense.
Okay, I get it. Natural 18 and a natural 1. So
advantage was clutch, and you only get that on one spell, right?
Yeah, you choose the spell,
you
yeah.
You chose magic missile.
That was the talent I got.
Japris, talk about coming in handy.
I should have done sleep. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, magic missile will last you a lot longer.
That's true. 4 points of damage.
And he drops.
Yes. Wow.
So nice. Allison is like, sleep, sleep, sleep. And then he hears like, there's like, what the? And he's like, and just magic missiles the guy to death.
All right. So the elbow and his like, what's going on here? It was all very quick, but you guys do hear some rustling. Okay. So let's just keep it tense here. Warwick, what do? You see Saint run to the cage. You can actually run to the cage.
I'll run to the cage.
With your move action. Warwick.
I'm just gonna start slitting throats around the fire to the guys that went down, just in case anybody wakes up. I just want them down.
Okay.
So he just moves over and he's got his sword out, or he pulls his sword out and just walks over and just starts like putting his foot on people and slitting their throats.
Slit.
Are they all human?
All human. Yep.
All men.
All human men.
This is just getting easier and easier.
Fuck you guys.
Wearing shirts.
How many
say,
can I kill in that amount of time?
They all have t-shirts on. It's like, fuck
this is you're making it too easy. All right, so you just start slitting throats. Okay. I was gonna say you see a light go on. All right, so from
Hello?
The far side of the camp, you Pharaoh see some flaps starting to open, like two tents flaps are starting to open. What do you do?
I'm going to do a bird whistle to let people know the code that we use for there are two tent flaps opening in the northeast or whatever there.
You guys worked on that.
Yep. We worked on that on the way to the camp.
Flashback.
Yeah.
Flashback.
All flashback, all of us sitting around a campfire just trying to do bird whistles.
We've got company and he's aiming his crossbow ready to fire at anyone who shows themselves.
Okay.
Foreign conversation anyway.
Same.
I would like to pick the lock, and I'm able to, and I have advantage on any associated checks if I'm not able to just pick it. It says I can delicate tasks such as picking pockets and opening locks.
Okay. I think that this is an easy enough lock for you to just be able to pick.
And he's got little tool. Like, he has everything.
Yeah, you're right there.
Need.
You get into it. You can pop it open.
Cool. He opens this and how do they look now that he can see it?
They're in better shape than Nelvin, but they're like looking on the ground. They're scared. They see you in robes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, please have mercy on us.
Okay.
Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you.
Yes, that's what he says.
A little short for a cultist.
He pulls it open and he pulls the cowl down and he says, Regina, Corvin, and Breon, we saved Nelvin. Come with us.
Okay, and they just like, they run out, they rush out.
Yeah, and he kind of, he's like, don't say anything. And he starts moving them towards the way that we had come in to just literally beeline it back that same way.
Because you'll go back to the south, take a long way back around Ellison.
I'm going to follow. I'll just start moving.
Okay, so you break out and it goes to Warwick. Warwick, you're in the middle of the camp here, slitting. You see some figures starting to emerge from the darkness. It's a pretty big camp.
Pretty big camp.
But you also can see that they're scurrying out. You turn back and look. You see Ellison, Saint, and the three prisoners are scurrying towards the back.
Okay. I'm going to ditch out as quickly as possible to the west there, like to sort of get behind a tent and out of sight as soon as possible. Like, not go directly toward them, but kind of take a different path into darkness just in case anybody follows them, maybe I can come up from behind them and they won't know I'm there or something like that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
You dip out. Where are you, Pharaoh, during this?
I'm right by the cage.
So you're like towards the back there.
Yeah.
Okay. So it comes back around to me. I'll say, you run out. Are you looking behind you? Just kind of checking?
I pictured him having his shield like on his back as so that it wasn't visible, you know, easily. So I think he's using an action to sort of pull that off and he's backing away kind of behind a tent and trying to keep an eye, but also hiding himself. Basically, I picture if somebody ran past after them and it was doable, I could surprise them and get them from behind. Kind of.
Okay. You look back, you see two figures like coming up to the fire and they see these bodies just covered in blood around their necks. And one of them like waves with their hand and casts like an alarm spell that rings throughout the camp. And now there's lots of commotion. We go to Pharaoh.
Okay, so I was like covering the retreat of Saint and the prisoners.
Loaded crossbow.
And as the last prisoner leaves and they start running, I pull up and follow.
Okay.
Start running after them.
Saint, by now you're out of the camp with the three of them. They're a little slow. They don't have any armor or any weapons, but they're keeping pace with you. You're running off to the south. Now you hear this commotion. You see lots of bodies. But you still have the jump here before they start spreading out, if that's what they choose to do. What do you do here?
Yeah, I'm wondering, am I far distance? Like, could I shoot my bow towards the camp and hit something?
Yeah, what are you thinking?
I'd like to
try.
Might be too much to do in a turn, but I'd like to tell them to keep going and to pull out my flint and steel and quickly try to light something, or my torch or something, just quickly try to light something and light an arrow and try to shoot a tent to create like a further distraction so they do not know which direction we ran in.
Oh, interesting. So like try and make a flaming arrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just shoot something flammable in the camp so they go, what, you know, over there?
Interesting. All right. Very cool. Do you have the stuff in your pack to be able to do that?
I do. I could use it up.
All right. That's cool as shit. Let's try it.
Okay.
You don't use up a flint. You would need to use it up.
I'm going to use some of it.
Yeah.
My flint will be worn down.
Do you have like an oil that you can coat the end?
Yeah, you need something flammable.
I don't have oil. Well, I have our torches. Like the torches are flammable.
Somebody said something about torches are not so easy to light in combat. I never looked that up.
Yeah, they're not.
Some complication.
Yeah, it does take a minute. It takes. It's a weird amount of time.
I never looked it up.
Well, I could.
It's
also
a cool idea. I want to be able. I want to lean into your. I could do something here. I just want it to be realistic.
I could do something else. This is much easier.
Okay.
I could take out my caltrops, and I could toss them so that whoever, if they pursue us this way, they're a little bit impeded.
Ah!
Alice is the first one.
No. I do the bird call. I do the bird call to let everybody know I'm putting down
the caltrops. Bird call.
The caltrops. Oh, okay.
So it's like a. So it's like those.
Saint drop caltrops.
That's a barn owl.
Yeah, it's a barn owl.
Barn owl noise.
Woo.
Okay, Ellison.
Ellison is going to, as he's running full speed, trying to catch up with Saint and the escaped prisoners. But he's going to glance back over his shoulder and fire off a magic missile at the fire at the center of the camp.
Oh, interesting.
The idea being to kind of just like light an explosion right under, so maybe the flaming logs will hit tents and cause confusion.
Oh, okay. That's fun as shit. Cool. Okay.
Nice. I just love this. Like, it's just a Roman candle shooting out of the darkness, like into this campfire.
Okay. Natural 20.
Natural 20. All right. So don't even worry about rolling twice.
Wow. Boom.
All right. So that is very cool. I'm going to say with that natural 20, you're able to not only hit a bullseye on that, you're able to send some of the sparks up and it hits some of the tents and the tents start catching flames. Awesome. And they're all like screaming out, "We're under attack. We're under attack." Warwick.
I was thinking the same thing. So that's what I'm going to do. Only I'm going to split off in a different direction. I see them sort of heading south. I'm going to head west, try to meet up with them eventually. But maybe if that can cause some confusion, he's going to start running through the bushes and throw his caltrops behind him. And maybe if they hear him running, they'll be confused which way to start pursuing, maybe split up, and then both hit caltrops. I think that could work. So,
okay. All right. Well, it comes to my turn. Two of these robed figures begin running off to the south. They start splitting off in all directions throughout the camp, while some are staying behind to try and put out the fire. There's four of them now dead in the camp, but you see at least a dozen of them running all about, doing. It's just pandemonium there, but they're running and trying to figure out who they're under attack from, while also not assuming that you're just running away. But they probably very quickly realize the prisoners have been taken, so they spread out. The first two that come to the south, you hear them, they just like they run into the caltrops.
That's what I always assume with caltrops. I always assume it's kind of like, son of a bitch!
And they just buckle to the ground.
It's like stepping on a D4 at home.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
The caltrops are just D4s.
Legos and D4s.
Is there a mechanical effect of that?
Anybody who runs through it takes one damage, and they can move at they only can move at half speed for 10 rounds.
Yeah, it's more. Wow. This isn't something that's going to kill them, but it's going to make you make your retreat very easy. And then same thing, they'll come after you. And
natural 20.
The guy's like, fuck! He just tumbles and starts rolling.
And I'm just like, I picture him just like jumping through bushes and weeds and like getting smacked in the face, crashing through the forest. Yeah.
And we just kind of pan up and see this place just start burning to the ground. Cultists running off in every direction, and you get out safe.
Yes!
Awesome.
Oh my god, amazing.
And we'll be back right after this.
Oh man.
Awesome.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlotta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Malouf in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow, unless you want the show to follow you.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place. was the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
We're back. You are effectively out of combat, but not out of the both figurative and literal woods yet. You pushed yourself mechanically to enter this third hex in one day, arriving late in the evening, which was the perfect crime, less people awake that you had to deal with. Now, these hexes are, they're 6 mile hexes, so you don't have to leave this hex to try and push yourself further to get away, but you know, you don't know what they're going to do. Like, are they going to keep looking? Are they going to keep, you know, so you tell me what you want to do. If you push yourself further, you know, that might be taxing. It might have negative consequences. You tell me what you want to do. And you also got these prisoners that, like, they might not be able to do it.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess check with them.
I think we have to get a sense of everybody's stamina at this point. I think we just hide in this hex. Because the other thing is, while the kids and the guard are up there, I think that it's most likely if they start canvassing that they would head right toward the pit.
Yeah.
Right, the last showed up in
robes, yeah.
Because we showed up in the robes of the people that were doing the ritual, the sacrifice. So they may go straight there, you know.
My only thing was to come
around the backside.
I was thinking, I don't know if this is feasible, but if we did go back, we could retrace their old steps so to kind of muddy the tracks a little bit.
Yeah, that's
so we could follow like their path that they took to the pit. And then they might not realize that, you know, that was us.
Let's say you're running. You eventually meet back up with them and you stop for a moment to kind of gather your thoughts, and Regina and Brion and Corvin are like,
we need to stop for a moment. My legs, they hurt.
All right. Sit down.
Can we disguise our tracks?
Yeah, sure. Saint?
Okay. Oh, and he like, it has been, this is, he is tired. And he failed that con check before. Yeah,
both Ellison and Saint are probably beat.
And I think now it's hitting like the adrenaline. You know, we feel a little safer. We've got the prisoners. We found Regina. So Saint is going to like blinking, like rubbing his eyes. And he's going to grab some brush and start to hide our tracks. And also try to find the tracks like Skid. Or maybe Pharaoh mentions, like, why don't we just stay on the same track they took to the pit and back? So he's going to try to cover other tracks that we just made.
All right, so you're slowing down your pace here, but trying to not make yourself easily discoverable should they give chase.
Got to find a hiding spot to rest.
All right, so is your plan to stay in this hex and rest for the night?
I guess so.
Are you going to heed the strange armored man's words and light a fire?
We have to go without a fire.
Yeah, I think we'd have to go without a fire.
We can't light a fire.
The fire will protect you.
I like that we met that guy. He spared us. And then we went to his cult.
Yeah.
And killed a bunch of people.
Pretty sure we met his followers.
I'm going to try one thing. I'm going to say, I think we should push on. I think that they could be up on us at any second. We can't light a fire. The children are back there, as is...
Children?
Is it Neville?
Nelvin.
As is Nelvin.
What children? What?
We encountered some children along the way that had been kidnapped from their village, and we were taking them back when we discovered your...
Nelvin is watching them now, and so we could go there and regroup with him. If your legs can make it to get back to Nelvin. If they can't, we'll rest here for the night.
I mean, I think we can do it. I think we can.
And then one of the brothers is like, do you have any... extra weapons. We might be able to help defend should they catch up with us.
I'll hand him my dagger for the moment, but I'll say, but there are sickles with your brother that you can take.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll give the other brother a dagger.
Okay. This will do for now, I suppose.
Thank you. Thank you for helping us. We've failed in our duty to protect Regina and the spices, but...
So who jumped you? These cultists dressed like this in robes on the road?
They caught us unawares, and there was a few of them that ran at us, and we were able to strike a couple down, but we got swarmed, and they touched us and cast some sort of magic on us that sapped us of our energy.
Yes, I felt it myself.
That's what happened to you.
Yes. It's like it took my very life force out.
It could have easily killed us at that point, but when we awoke, we were in the cage, and there were others there as well.
They were saving you. We watched them try to throw your companion into this pit. They were saving you. They were going to sacrifice you to some dark god.
Yes, we've heard them talk about this. They would hold these nightly chants and rituals, and we listened to what they would say. We were trying to piece it together, but they have some god. What do they call it? Exidian. Yes. Some god that they worship that they must feed. And if they do not feed on a regular basis, it will come back and wreak havoc upon them and the world. That is what they said. So there were other people in the cage with us, and they took them first, prisoners that they had already captured, perhaps other travelers along the road, and they never came back. We assumed that Nelvin would suffer the same fate, but you saved him, and he's all right.
He's been badly beaten, but he's all right.
Yes, he probably tried to put up a fight. Well, we cannot thank you enough. I'm sure that there will be a reward. And Regina says, "Yes, I'm assuming you come from Marin's Hold. Did you meet Martin?
He sent us.
Martin sent you. Of course, he would send you. Well, thank you. Yes, we will repay you if it is a reward you seek. But in the meantime, we just thank you for saving our lives nice to meet you. I'm Regina.
We introduce ourselves.
Okay.
And then Allison puts them all to sleep, and we slit their throats because all we needed was proof. without the offer of additional recompense.
Dead or alive.
That was the
killed by a cult.
Saint asks.
Yeah, we tried to save them.
Saint asks Regina, did these cultists ever mention Marin's Hold? Do they know about it or where it is?
I never heard them speak of that.
Did you tell them where you were from?
No, they didn't even question us. We were not people to them. We were simply fodder for their dark god. Mm. They're sick individuals, crazed look in their eyes.
All men?
At all times. I believe so. I don't think I ever saw a woman or a child, thankfully.
All human?
Yes, I don't think I saw any ancestry beyond that. I don't know where they came from. I've lived in Marin's Hold for some time. We've never heard of such things. But ever since the unpleasantries to the south, the world has changed.
Mm. Yes, that it has.
It's
been broken.
You're safe now.
Let's push on.
Let's go. Let's push on till dawn. We'll reach Nelvin and we'll get out of here.
Alright. Everybody give me a con check. Oof. As we push into the wee hours.
Ooh, 17.
Hardy fella.
Dude, struggling.
7.
I'm just gonna lean into it. So yeah, Allison fails. With a 7.
Alright, so you're gonna take disadvantage on all checks now that require any sort of physical or mental exertion. Until you're able to get proper rest.
Yeah, Olsen hasn't had proper rest since we set out.
Oh, man.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
And that is going to possibly really derail things. Because as you get into the next hex, maybe the sun is slowly starting to come up. Actually, it's really probably like 4 or 5 in the morning, so you can, like, you know, that time of day where you know it's going to turn light at any moment. Mm-hmm. But the sky hasn't really changed yet. You come up and you're maybe pointing to Regina and the brothers about that is where we saved Nelvin, and
You tell them about the tree and you walk in the direction of the tree and something seems off. And when you approach, the children are not in the tree and there is a body on the ground, slumped in a heap. What do you do?
Look around, make sure this isn't a trap.
Yeah, yeah, Saint immediately gets like red flag hair on the back of the neck and is like, stop walking. And he wants to, I have disadvantage, but he's going to look around to see if this is a trap.
Okay.
So looking for tracks, looking for how the body's placed, just trying to see like Archer in the woods.
You
check for traps.
How close are you getting?
To near.
Near, yeah.
All right, so you slowly approach this body and realize that it's Nelvin. And he has been savaged. Like, huge gashes across his chest, legs. His neck has been, like, ripped out. Blood everywhere. You see his sickle laying nearby his body, covered in blood, as if he put up a fight. Little trail of blood leading off into the woods, and the children are gone.
What? No!
And they just run to Nelvin.
Same kind of.
Sets off a huge trap. No,
I'll just run.
No, no, no.
And they get it up in a net.
They collapse like, no, no, no.
And the brothers are like trying to fix it, but I mean, you saw his neck has been just ripped out.
It's a fucking werewolf.
And he's been dead, it seems like, for a little while, like...
Yeah, I mean, this, you start putting two and two together, you were probably being tracked.
By the werewolf.
And when you left, something attacked.
Did it take the fucking kids back?
Yeah.
What the... What the...
What happened? Oh. What happened? You said that you saved him.
Saint, like, sits on the ground in, like, a squat and just puts his head into his hand. He's exhausted. He cannot talk to these people right now.
Oh, no.
He's
no.
not good with this in general, but he cannot talk right now, and he feels too much to express with the kid. Like, he just goes in a slump.
Oh, no, no. And the brothers are doing their best to, like, pull it together, but they're exhausted. They're emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted, and they just weep over their brother's body. And Regina is probably the most composed out of all of them. And she just, like, sinks to her knees and puts her hands on the two brothers' back.
I'm going to follow the blood trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a little bit, just to see which way.
You weren't going to leave the hex or anything.
Yeah, you follow the blood trail, and it leads to the northeast.
Fuck.
He's, like, stamping through the brush, following the blood.
Back towards the cave.
Gets far from everybody else, and then just stands there, knowing he can't go any further without them.
Yeah. I mean, the direction of that cave, for example, is, like, 2 days away.
I think.
And we're exhausted.
And you're exhausted.
Oh, yeah. God.
Pharaoh is just, like, just looks up at this guy and says, fuck! It's like, oh,
Ellison is just kind of standing there, just like absolutely hollowed out. He's just like staring at the body and the blood trail, and just like he's just kind of like almost catatonic, just like children.
We've got to sleep. We've got to find a safe-ish place, and we've got to get some rest. We're not good to them or anyone. If we don't get some rest now,
I'm so tired.
Yeah, let's find a place to rest, and we'll decide what to do in the morning.
We'll get like a mile away or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, further.
Again, disguising our trail so the cultists can't follow us. God, now we're hunted in two fronts.
I know. Brothers, like, they don't want to leave the body of their brother behind. Like, we can't leave him. Yeah.
We can't.
We'll take him with us.
Can't. We cannot take him with us. The blood
can't
trail.
Can't leave his body behind.
Warwick. The blood trail.
I won't leave my brother.
Then you carry him.
I'll help you.
So did I. Nelvin was the largest of the three.
You roll for that?
280 pounds.
320, all muscle.
Jesus.
That's like, why I got hired.
6'5".
Right. They're large adult sons.
Like 80s Hogan.
My large adult sons.
80s Hogan.
They're just like, oh, God.
And you, so you, the three of you heft Nelvin.
Each take a part of
on your shoulders, and blood still coming out all over you and the brothers as you walk slowly in the direction of, you know, safety. In the distance, that gaping maw in the ground almost feels like it's breathing. Almost feels like it's watching you as you walk away. You find a place to rest. You unload the body of the deceased guard. Felt like you were carrying a kill. If you ever hunted, like carrying a kill back to your camp.
A mighty hind.
It's a carcass.
Yeah, you just lay this body down. He was so beaten, so battered. Maybe at full strength he would have had a chance, but who knows? You don't really know what you're up against, though you have some assumptions. You rest, take a ration away, and let's see how the daytime rest treats you. 8 hours pass, and it is thankfully uneventful.
God, could you even imagine?
No, I'd be dead.
If we had disadvantage on everything,
I would
got
be
jumped
dead
right now.
Yeah.
Is that, so does that end our disadvantage? Do we get proper rest? Or
I'm going to say that ends your disadvantage.
Okay. All right. Well, I think our...
But now it's, you know, think about it. Now it's...
like late in the afternoon.
Yeah, late afternoon. Yeah, so you're off timing.
Yeah.
I think let's get out of this hex.
Yeah.
Maybe we do one move today.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the best thing to do is get to the road, and Allison really wants to go after those kids.
2 days.
I'm confused about the blood trail and the kids.
The werewolf.
Did you say it was to the northeast?
I'd say east.
Yeah,
I keep getting east.
West.
I keep for doing that. I'm sorry. It's to the northwest.
He said it's back toward the cave.
Yeah. We all knew what he meant.
In that direction.
Yeah, I did not. Because I didn't know why I wouldn't necessarily go back to the cave, but because that seemed too easy.
That's where the werewolf den is, though.
I know, but the werewolf would know then that we know where it is.
I don't think the werewolf's concerned. Our whole thing was...
I don't think the werewolf has been tracking us for days, apparently. I don't think she's that concerned with us.
Yeah, I think we didn't want to fight the werewolf. We never wanted...
You know, we also covered those tracks, too. If memory serves.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I think somebody forgot.
Somebody forgot, or it's a very, very good tracker.
I mean, it's a werewolf.
You can scent, just scent alone.
Yeah. Hard to cover scent. Horrible, horrible situation.
Yeah.
This is so fucked.
Part of me is like, I would send Regina and the bros back down the road, but that even that's incredibly dangerous.
But if they don't get back safely, then we don't get anything anyway.
Why don't you put them in a tree and say you'll be back later?
So I think we take them. We have to take them with us if we're going to go to the cave.
Are we going to the cave?
I think we should go back.
You think we should back to Marin's
Hole? I think we should go home
and then venture out again.
Re-equip and then, yeah.
Because in 2 days, the werewolf is going to scratch the kids again. We're screwed. I mean, we don't have...
Kids are already...
They're already werewolves.
Again. Yeah.
Oh, God. It's so crushing.
We had to...
I feel like I'm playing a Dark Souls game. This sucks. I feel like I'm starting over again.
By the time we get back to them... I mean, then we're back in the original predicament, which is how do we deliver these kids home when they could destroy their community?
Right.
Yes. Back to the mushroom party.
We have to wait for the full moon.
If you get another invite.
Until then,
28 days and an invite later.
Just
going
to be sitting there casting sleep every night to make sure they're as when they transform there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean.
I think we have to go back to Marin's Hold.
Yeah.
Allison is like, he can't.
How can we just leave them?
He can't. That's what Allison thinks. Like, how can we just leave them?
We know where they are.
We know where they're, where they're from.
We don't know how to save them. We don't know how to heal them. But we know where they are.
We can't fight a werewolf. We can't save them.
It wasn't there the first time.
There's seven of us.
It won't be there during the day.
It tracked us. I covered our tracks. You saw me. You want to track it back to Marin's Hold? You want to track it back to Regina and her only two brothers left alive?
It knows where Marin's Hold is. It knows where Wardenwood is. It can get to wherever it wants.
Okay, we can't, like... bring this disease back to this only safe town.
Yeah, we get these kids and then what?
I can keep them subdued until we can find a solution.
And when do you sleep?
Figure it out. During the day. I'll sleep during the day. There must be some solution. We can't just leave those children.
You know what the solution is. Kill the werewolf. Are you prepared to do that? I don't think I could. I mean, honestly, I don't think I could. Did you see his body?
We've got seven of us. We've got two brothers who want to avenge their brother's death. In chainmail with sickles.
Then I'll let you talk to them. I'm not telling them what to do. I'm not having them risk their life over that. Two kids we don't know, and we don't know anything to. Sorry. I get it. They're kids. I get it.
No one wants to abandon the children, but I don't... I'm with Saint here. I mean, it's just seems foolhardy to follow them back. We have to get home. We've got to get paid. Maybe then we'll have some sort of fighting chance to go back and deal with this monster. But right now,
is that what you're saying?
Maybe I don't.
If we go back, if we rearm, he's looking at Saint. You'll come back north.
How many rations do you have left?
I don't know.
How many rations do any of you have left?
I've got one day's worth of food left.
I've got two.
I just have the daggers that you gave me.
Oh, sorry, Corbin. I wasn't...
We're very hungry.
Sorry, shit. Yeah, we have to give them rations. I have four rations on my sheet.
There's rules... Someone said there's rules for hunting in one of the cursed... In Curse Scroll 2, I think. One of the Curse Scrolls has hunting rules.
Yeah, it'll take...
Probably Curse Scroll 4, which is the newer one that includes the Ranger class.
Yeah,
It'll take minimum 3 days to get back. To get back to Marin's Hold. Just so we know, just ration-wise. You know, Saint, this is an argument he's making of, like, we don't have enough food, but also just game-wise.
So it'll be one, two. It's one day.
This game is so fucking great.
2 days.
Minimum 3 days. I did the hexes.
I mean, we've been out here without food before. We hunted, we got food.
Saint hunted. Yeah. I'm just saying, we have three more people.
I mean, let's put it to a vote.
Regina, Corvin, Brion, you're part of this vote. Because you make the group uneven, and that we've kind of run into this problem.
We are just thankful to be saved while we are eager to get home. And we're so very hungry. Children, werewolves, the gloaming is dangerous enough. I feel for these children, but truth be told, you're saying it's days away? They may already be lost.
No, they are. They definitely are.
And then to sacrifice ourselves in the process to just find... corpses or children that have been turned. I feel for them, and I feel for your sympathies, but there are worse things out here than that. I don't feel right even voting on a children's life that may already be lost.
Don't call it a vote, then. What do you want to do? Do you want to help us get these children out of the grasp of this werewolf?
This creature that killed, that killed your brother and your brother. And he turns to Corbin and Brion.
We have been around long enough to know that revenge is not a strong enough motive to push forward. Killing whatever killed Nelvin will not bring him back. Though I wish to see that creature or creatures suffer an unimaginable fate. We are not the executioners. We want to go home. We've been given a second chance at life. We want to take it. But we will do whatever you decide.
If we go to this cave in the day, will the werewolf not be a werewolf?
It's hard to say. We don't even know it's a werewolf. We've never seen her.
I mean, what it did to Nelvin seems like a werewolf, doesn't it?
We're a creature of some kind.
We know that it was trying to infect the children.
We don't know how it works. We assumed it would only be a wolf on the nights of the full moon. That wasn't true.
If we leave now, they have no chance. None. If we try, there's a chance we get them out. And then we can find another way to cure them of this disease.
I don't want to. I don't want to. The kids are nice, but I don't... We don't have food. We're up against something we don't understand. We don't have any means of curing this disease, even if we got to them. I just want to go back. You're all mad. There's enough danger out here as it is without going to looking for something we know is going to kill us all. Like,
we're mad.
Yes.
You're the one that said the moon killed everyone.
Well, maybe it will. Maybe it's about to with this fucking werewolf. Sort of by proxy. Ellison, come on. Like, we haven't survived this long by going on fool's errands like the one he's suggesting. I mean, come on.
If we get back to Marin's hole, maybe we can convince some others to come with us, or we get word to Wardenwood. Parents of those children, they might be able to send a party to join us.
He just like runs his hands over his scalp. It's like now starting to like grow hair back.
Right. Maybe we don't have what we need to defeat this thing. Maybe we don't have what we need to cure the children. We can go back. But I'm coming back up here. When I find out how to cure them or how to kill it, I'm coming back.
All right.
Ellison, he can't, like, Pharaoh has broken through to him. Like, it's an impossible situation, but, like...
We probably ran into moral quandaries like this in the intervening time anyway, over the period before we met up with these guys. I mean, we had to have made some really difficult
choices. Yeah, I mean, during the war, too. I mean,
during the war, yeah.
It's just Ellison is like, he's trying to regain, he feels this need to regain his humanity after the war before he goes home. And also, he's a father. So it's like the idea of, like, abandoning these children is just so... is so just like what tears him apart.
Yeah.
But I think the reality of having not, if it was just that they were, we could rescue them, that would be one thing, but it's rescuing two werewolf cubs.
Right. That's the thing is like, even if we do somehow get them back and secure them, get them home or somewhere safe, they're ticking time bombs in all likelihood.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And now Regina knows that Regina and the brothers know they're werewolves. So it's like, they're going to tell her, and the town's not going to let them in. We barely got in.
No, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll send a messenger. Think, or maybe we go to Wardenwood. Maybe if we complete this quest, we make our next journey out to Wardenwood to deal with their bandit problem and also find the parents.
Do we know where Wardenwood is?
To the west
of Marin's Hold.
Of Marin's Hold.
On the southern shore of the lake or the northern shore?
Right at, like, what we know from the map is that it's to the south right before it bends up towards the north.
All right, cool.
In general, that's where we think it is.
Yes, and you were also, Saint was told that there is a group of bandits evidently camped out near a large marrow tree on the outskirts of Wardenwood.
Right.
Causing trouble to travelers along the path.
All right. But look, we are... beaten. We're defeated. We have to go back. We have to regroup, or we have no chance. We have no chance of accomplishing anything further. And, you know, we've got these fine people here. Like, this was why we came out here. I don't need to remind you that this is what we set out to do. Let's get them back. Let's do that. And then talk about next steps.
You can tell it's like, this is like, Ellison is just like torn apart by this. Yeah. He's like, he sees your reason. He can't deny it. He's been convinced by it, but he, at the same time, he's just like,
it's hard.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm trying to.
We thought we were free. Like, in a way, like, there was the relief of the war being over. It's like, we're free of being compelled to do horrible things.
Right.
And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
Compelled to do
horrible
things.
Here we are
again. It's just, I don't think we're giving, at least for me, I'm thinking about the stuff that was not done. Multiple days that we traveled with the kids. So, you know, we know them pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would think that there's some endearment there for sure.
Yeah.
They're not just the kids.
No.
They would be way harder.
Whenever Troy plays them, they're psychos and super annoying, but I don't think that's what they're really like.
In any case, we watched over them for several days.
Yeah, that's why I think Warwick is just so torn. He can see the blood trail. Yeah. You know, it's right there.
And
it feels like he's abandoning, you know, a fellow soldier.
I mean, there is a chance they're not turned.
But we can't get there until 2 days.
Yeah, no, I mean, we don't have to re-litigate it. I'm just explaining.
And I think
why he's so, like, torn about this, because it's not like he just cares about all kids.
Right.
But, like, we got to know these kids, we just didn't see it.
Yeah. Real kid lover.
And I think Saint, like, gets Warwick's opinion, like, he understands where he's coming from, and he can't look Warwick in the eye, because he knows it, like, he knows it to be true. But he agrees with Pharaoh that, like, it is not the thing we can do right now. It's just impossible for us to do it. But he, after he makes his point and everything, he just avoids Warwick's eye because he can, like, feel pain in it, and packs up the camp and just keeps himself busy as you guys continue to sort of, like, talk about it until we come up with a solution.
All right. Well, where do you want to head now, Pharaoh?
South.
Back south. The path?
Back you want to go back to the road, or should we go south so we can uncover more?
We should cover more ground because we can make money with Denzar.
Right.
So we should.
I think we should avoid the road in any case, because if we're going to be, it's going to be open season on us from cultists.
Yeah.
So let's just try to keep off the beaten path, head south until we get close to Meron's Hold, and then break to the west.
So direct south.
Yep.
Okay, so it's noon-ish, 1 o'clock, and so kind of resetting things around sunset, you get to the next hex. Doesn't look like anything is revealed new on the map, but now, should you decide to press on, which you can do, you'd be traveling into the night just because of the way your days have been switched, which would mean higher danger and... mechanically, perhaps more chance of random encounters.
Maybe we just call it a day. And
yeah, we should try to hunt too again because this is my last ration.
Did you share rations with them on that first night?
I guess we must have, right? So that's maybe three more. All right, so now this is
my last. You guys are all just eating and they're just...
So now, if that's true, then this is effectively my last ration.
Yeah.
How many did you share?
One each.
Oh, you shared all three?
There's three of them.
But you gave all three?
Effectively.
Okay.
How many do you have?
I have four right now. So if we use one right now for this night, I have three.
No, you have zero because they need to eat.
And I have zero.
We'll never make it back. So hungry.
So we will need it. So why don't we call it and we can hunt?
Yeah. Saint will set up a few traps with the rope that he's been using for like rabbit snares. And I will also try to hunt as our rest of our day. Mm. Get like a deer or something bigger.
Oh, a deer. Dear. All right, so you want to go out there and range.
Yeah, he'll set traps for the night, but like we need food. A rabbit might not be enough for six people.
Okay.
We could also hunt in the morning.
Seven people. We could also hunt in the morning.
Okay. You just kind of scout the area, see if there's even any wildlife around, and you do find huge like pieces of dung.
Oh.
Like some large animal.
Dinner's on.
Yes. Well, I bring the dung back. Yeah. Great.
Big shits.
Cool. So then seeing that.
Like concerningly big shits?
No, just like a big animal.
Large animal.
Might be untenable, but maybe not something you'd hunt alone.
Seeing that, he'll climb a tree and do kind of like a tree stakeout. Make a little makeshift hunting thing on like a larger branch.
Mm-hmm. Blind.
Hunting blind, yeah. And is that what it's called?
I think so.
Hunting blind? Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the trees. He's going to sit up there and he'll have his bow and arrow and like a little canteen of his water. And just until he gets tired enough to give up, he might as well try, and it keeps his mind busy. And he can't be at camp right now with everybody and Regina and the brother. It's like too many people. He doesn't want to be around that many people.
Okay. And so you're going to stay up there for late into the night?
Yeah. Well, until it's too dark to hunt, and then he'll come down.
Okay. All right. Eat your rations, take your rest, and let's see how how calm the night is right after this quick break.
Looking for a more affordable way to own in 2026? With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new home for just £26 before the 26th January. Lower upfront costs, modern, stylish homes, and a clearer path onto the property ladder, making it easier than ever to step into home ownership. Find out more at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
When they were young, the five members of an elite commando group nicknamed the Stone Wolves raged against the oppressive rule of the Cradorakian Empire, which occupies and dominates most of the galaxy's inhabited planets. The Wolves fought for freedom, but they failed, leaving countless corpses in their wake. Defeated and disillusioned, they hung up their guns and went their separate ways, all hoping to find some small bit of peace amidst a universe thick with violence and oppression. Four decades after their heyday, they each try to stay alive and eke out a living. But a friend from the past won't let them move on, and neither will their bitterest enemy. The Stone Wolves is season 11 of the Galactic Football League science fiction series by author Scott Sigler. Enjoy it as a standalone story or listen to the entire GFL series beginning with season 1, The Rookie. Search for Scott Sigler, S-I-G-L-E-R, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you guys hear that? Oh, that's our podcast, Ruin, brought to you by me, your host, intrepid horror movie freak, Hallie Kiefer.
And me, your resident scaredy cat, Allison Leiby. Join us each week as Hallie forces me to listen to the twisted plot of yet another bone-chilling horror movie.
From classics like The Exorcist and The Thing, to the latest releases, to the most disgusting films on streaming, we ruin them all every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
So come join us, and until then, we beg you, please, keep it spooky!
We're back. Whew, man, everything's changed since like two episodes ago. Yeah. We found Regina. Oh, we found Melvin. Like really, really hard decisions. And I like that. It just makes things really interesting. The moral effects of each encounter, as it were, is really interesting to me. As you're climbing down from the tree, to go perhaps head back to camp, knowing that's like it's time for your watch, you see a big fucking brown bear skulking about. You would know this is a major beast. This thing could just swat at your head and decapitate you. That kind of strength. Would feed all of you for a long time, but you would risk killing everyone.
I'm not aggroing a bear.
And you almost get the sense that it smells you.
Yeah,
you're up in the tree and it's just skulking about.
This is terrible. One, bears, incredible tree climbers. Doesn't help me that I'm in a tree. Only thing that would help me is running down a hill right now. There's no hill. He's going to take a few caltrops out of his bag and just throw them as far as he can away from the tree, hoping to get the bear's attention to go snuffle somewhere else.
Okay.
So
you hear it like crunch in the leaves, and you know the bear kind of scurries away like it's spooked by the sound a little bit, and you lose track of it.
Okay.
There's a bear around.
Yeah. I'm going to quietly climb back down the tree and quietly get back to the camp to let people know.
Okay. Maybe Farrow, you had first watch with one of the brothers, and you come back in.
It's a brown bear. No deer. I saw some droppings. I should have known the difference between deer and bear dung, I guess, but I'm apparently not that great of a hunter.
Totally different. I'm
so vastly
got the ranger background too, and
so vastly different.
It's not similar at all.
I don't know what it could. I thought this could be anything. There's a brown bear. It's pretty big, and it's not far from the camp. It could smell us on the wind. It could probably smell the ash in the air from the fire.
Well, it probably, unless it's starving, it's not gonna bother us.
I hope not. It didn't seem that interested in me. It wasn't like stalking me, but
we just want to avoid it if we can.
Yeah, and he points the direction that it was in, Let's keep the fire going, yeah?
Brion is like, Nelvin. The scent of Nelvin may...
still have Nelvin.
Attract it.
Sort of what I was...
Well, we should have just buried Nelvin.
Why didn't we bury
yesterday.
Him?
Yesterday. There's no way we move on without burying
Nelvin. I want to take him back to Moon's home.
Ugh. No.
All right, fine, sure.
If you want to take him back to Marin's hole, we're going back for the kids first.
We can't take Nelvin's body?
We'll bury him here.
Can't bury him in the middle of the gloaming?
Why not?
Because we'll never be able to visit his grave. Things change here all the time.
I think after the war, I think they'd be more attuned to... Surely they had to fight in it.
He's not your brother. Maybe that's how you treat your brother from wherever you're from.
Hey, Brion. You have a decomposing corpse. I understand it's your brother.
It's my brother you're talking about.
We're in the middle of the woods. I'm not just talking about crazy, you know, cultist people. This is a bear. They don't know you. They don't know that's your brother.
So we just bury him here?
I think you have two options. You bury him, and you get to say goodbye to your brother. Or we wait for a bear to tear him apart more. Why do you want that?
Those are my only two options?
Yeah.
I can't leave him here. His soul trapped in this horrible place. He couldn't... He says, I need to speak to Corvin, get his input on this, but maybe we could burn him or...
Well, hey, listen, Pharaoh's kind of like a clergyman. Maybe he could do something to help you, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
That's his to genuflection. It's like, yeah.
I can do a ceremony. Anything you want.
He just looks off to the southwest, being like, we're so close, but then thinks about like how weak he is and the idea of carrying this body for another 2 days, asking you to do that. He says... Let me get Corvin. Then he goes into, I don't know if you have tents or if you just have bedrolls, but he kind of shakes Corvin awake and you see them talking and they just nod like, okay, it's not our custom to burn the dead unless they're sick, but we don't want to bury him out here. So maybe you could say something, make his soul rest easy. I don't know how it works.
Of course, my child. And he lays his hands on her shoulder. He says, lay the departed out here on a bed of fallen leaves.
They heft him over to an area near the fire.
And I pull out like a rope from my bag, sort of tie it around my neck like it's like a, what is it, cassock or with a, what's those fucking scarves they wear, priests? It's one of those things.
I don't remember the name of it. The cassock is like the robe.
Yeah, the cassock is the robe, but like the...
Stole.
A stole.
Stole.
Yes. Yeah. So like a beautiful mink stole, puts it on. And he says, Gide up above. And he's not like actually a priest. Like this is something that a power that was
just like an awakened,
like it bestowed upon him, like sort of out of nowhere. He says, Gide above, who watches us from up where the moon is and also the stars. And in the daytime, the sun.
We look at each other.
Clouds.
We look back at Pharaoh.
And sometimes no clouds.
Saint's avoiding eye contact with all of the family.
Oh, we beseech you to speed this fallen soul to your side up there on the moon. We lay him to rest now, not in the underground traditions that we normally do of these things, but instead to burn him so that a bear does not feast on his intestines.
So how are the brothers receiving this?
They're just
They look up from time to time, and you know they're emotional.
Got it. Then Ellison nods along.
We your servants here on this accursed earth. We dedicate our this your fallen follower to you, and we pray as well that your other follower, the bear, doesn't turn us into a dead thing also. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, please anoint him with the torches.
So they just like pour oil on his body and like
make a pyre. I'm assuming we make up a pyre.
Like a makeshift pyre and like
there's the fallen leaves.
Anakin Skywalker him.
Yeah.
They light him on fire, which actually might keep the bear away.
Yeah.
It's just gruesome.
Unless he's into the smell of roasting human meat.
Well, it probably smells pretty tempting, I'm guessing, to us.
God, raw.
It's no food.
Ugh. And so we just watch this body burn here on the forest floor in the wee hours of the night with Nelvin and Corvin, and imagine they wake up, Regina. I don't know if you rustled the rest. I guess everyone was awake to watch this. Kind of interrupts your rest for the night, and we just watch this body burn. And in the flames, we go in closer, closer, closer until the flames wink out into darkness. And in that darkness, we keep moving forward until we just see that bone cave that you went into before. Complete darkness within. And we'll see you next week.
I don't know how you sleep at night. You disgust me.
It's what my character
wanted. It's what my character
said no. Character wanted.
Oh, brutal!
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred.
Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.